You're listening to Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. Back in the mid-1970s, Michigan legislative leaders concluded that because of promises made to Native Americans of free education in exchange for land, the state needed to waive college tuition for tribal students. And it did for a long time. Then, at one point, Governor Engler vetoed the money for the Native American tuition waiver. The legislature started to bake the money into the general fund that goes to public universities. Until it didn't. A House Fiscal Agency report says Michigan's public universities have been abiding by the law, but the state government has failed to reimburse the schools for more than $70 million since the year 2000. Joining us now is Representative Scott Van Singel, the Republican chair of the House Appropriations Subcommittee, to help us understand this issue better. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Now, you've proposed $4.2 million for reimbursement, reimbursing schools for tribal student waivers for last year. Why that amount?
Well, I was going to start chipping away at it. This is my first year as chair of the Higher Ed Committee. And then after seeing what the Senate did and hearing input from my committee members on both sides of the aisle, we decided to go ahead and fully fund that. And we did that as an amendment in committee. And for the first time, I believe, in decades, this program will be fully funded.
So the 4.2 actually makes up for a certain amount you already gave last year. Is that what I'm understanding?
We had put about $1.3 million in the preliminary budget, and then we did an amendment on top of that and fully funded it. So it's close to, I think it was $6.7 million or just under $7 million total that was the unfunded mandate on the universities.
Now, Michigan picked up this cost because the federal government passed on the responsibilities for meeting treaty obligations to the states. Does Michigan have a treaty obligation to waive tuition, or is this just a moral obligation the state has taken on?
It's actually in state law, from my understanding. And I believe the state law is based on treaties, but the universities don't have an option in this. They have to, by law, provide this tuition. And because they're funded by the state universities, the assumption was that the state would reimburse them. And then about 20 years ago, we stopped fully reimbursing them. And it's grown to about almost $7 million a year, that unreimbursed tuition amount.
Right. Like I mentioned earlier, since the year 2000, more than $70 million in shortfalls in reimbursement for Michigan Indian tuition waivers. So why did we start seeing these shortfalls in reimbursements? What happened?
Part of it was tuition has been growing, and we had sort of put a fixed amount in years ago. And so as tuition grew and the original amount we put in had not, it just became a growing unfunded mandate. And what's really happened is it disproportionately affected some of the smaller schools. So Central Michigan University, they have the largest population, Lake Superior State, Northern Michigan, some of those small regional schools that are near Indian reservations. Have fairly substantial populations, and it's become quite a burden on some of those smaller schools.
Are you going to look at trying to pay the cost of the tuition waivers from previous years, that trying to cut into that $70 million that they feel is owed to them?
I really don't have the funds to do that. It would be nice if we did, but I was given about $14 million in new money to work with in the higher ed budget this year. And some of that went to operation grants. And then, you know, like I said, about the $7 million went into the Indian tuition waiver program. So the funds just aren't there. The way we did this, this money will now be built into their base for next year. So it should be permanently funded going forward. And we'll make small adjustments based on enrollment going forward. But long answer to a short question, no, we just don't have $70 million available in the budget to do that at this time.
The public universities are not the only ones who've gotten, have failed to get fully reimbursed, although it's a lot less money. Community colleges are also owed something like $750,000. What can or should be done about that?
Probably going to be the same thing. The Senate put that around $700,000 in their budget. We didn't do that on the House side, but the process isn't done. We're going to conference committee soon, and it very well could be added in on the community college side as well.
Representative Scott Van Singel, the chair of the House Appropriations Subcommittee, thanks very much for talking with us.
Yeah, thanks. Anytime.
This week we heard from someone who benefited from the Michigan Indian tuition waiver about what it did for him.
My name is Banishi Kadro, or Joe Kadro. I am from Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, and a member of the Sault Ste. Marie Tribe of Chippewa Indians. It took off a financial burden, which once one looks at through a lens of systematic oppression, it enabled me to not only compete with non-Native students, but also gave me a chance at creating some equity within the academic realm.
Let's turn now to the president of the Michigan Indian Education Council and Northern Michigan University professor at the Center for Native American Studies, Martin Reinhardt. Welcome to the program.
Bonjour. Hello. Glad to be here.
So how important is this Michigan Indian tuition waiver to Native Americans in the state?
Well, it's very important. You know, the Michigan Indian tuition waiver has a very deep history in the relationship between Native people and non-Native people, and of course, they are educational institutions.
What has this meant to Native American communities?
Well, if you go back in history, what you'll see is that we had our own systems of education in place prior to colonization. And through the process of colonization, we entered into a number of treaties with non-Native people and their governments. And so the Michigan Indian Tuition Waiver at its roots is really based on treaty rights between the Anishinaabe, Three Fires Confederacy of Chippewa, Ottawa, and Potawatomi, and the United States of America.
I got to ask you the race-loaded question, and that's because a lot of people will say, why should Native American people get this unfair race-based benefit from the state? What would you say to them?
I would say that they're misinformed about the origins and the nature of the Michigan Indian Tuition Waiver. It's really based on treaties, which is legal and political, not race. It's kind of like the relationship between two countries. That's what a treaty is. It's an agreement between two sovereign entities.
How difficult is it for tribal members to get one of these tuition waivers?
Well, they have to be a citizen of a federally recognized tribe in the United States. They also have to be residents of Michigan for 12 months or more, and they have to be accepted into a Michigan public college or university.
Let's talk about the actual waiver law, the reimbursement for the waivers not being met by the state. We're seeing a big problems for the colleges that are near reservations, such as Central Michigan University, and I assume Northern Michigan University as well. This Michigan Indian tuition waiver is law, but with the state government not reimbursing public colleges and universities for the cost of waivers, what do you think the future is for these waivers?
Well, you're right. It is the law. It's Public Act 174 of 1976 that says that Michigan public colleges and universities shall waive tuition for eligible Native students within the state. And right up until 1995, the state of Michigan, in a bipartisan way, was supporting the Michigan Indian Tuition Waiver. Governor John Engler in 1995 used it as a political chess piece to essentially try to say that he was cleaning up the state budget. And he made it a partisan issue. You know, fortunately, the legislature rolled it into the base budgets of colleges and universities where it has been since. Unfortunately, it caused some commotion, and they also capped it at that level. And so they've had to now periodically reimburse the colleges and universities for the money that the state is in arrears as far as the reimbursement of the program. You know, that, of course, means that the colleges and universities that have the most Native students that are tuition waiver eligible are feeling the brunt of the reimbursement shortfalls.
Right. Collectively, they're $70 million behind in payments to the public universities since 2000. How concerned are you about that?
Well, you know, it's a shell wave again. And so where the colleges and universities are doing what they're supposed to be doing, the state of Michigan has to step up and do what it's supposed to be doing. You know, the state of Michigan inherited this responsibility when they entered into the Comstock Agreement of 1934, where they said, the governor of Michigan agreed that they would educate students, the Native students resident within the state of Michigan, at no further cost to the federal government, which means that they inherited that treaty obligation. Now, since 1934, the state of Michigan really has not stepped up to the plate and done what it's supposed to. The Michigan Indian Tuition Waiver was part of that obligation, and they have failed to even pay for the tuition waiver costs to the fullest extent.
At this point, the universities are bearing a lot of that cost, not all of it. There have been partial payments, and we're seeing a reimbursement for last year. What do you think should be done in the long run to ensure that the colleges and universities aren't bearing the full brunt of the tuition waiver?
Well, I think it's important to put it into perspective. This is not money out of the pockets of the universities and the colleges. This is just money that they're not currently getting from a state program that they're supposed to be getting if they did what they were supposed to do. That makes a big difference. They're still getting money from the students coming there because the students are counted as part of the general population. They're also getting the fees, the services, the dorm room costs, the books, the meals, the living expenses. I mean, they're getting certainly benefit from the native students that are tuition waiver eligible being on their campus. And so that's important to put into perspective. But I think it's also important for our leadership to work together. The college and university leadership, the tribal leadership, they have to get together and say to the state and to the feds as well, you know, that this is important to our state, this is important for these students to be here, that they are part of our bright future. You know, we're trying to address things like global warming. And, you know, what if one of these students is the one that comes up with the answers? You know, do we want to let them languish on the sidelines because they couldn't afford to go to college or university? I don't think so.
Martin Reinhart is the president of the Michigan Indian Education Council and professor at Northern Michigan University's Center for Native American Studies. Thanks for taking the time to explain this.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity, and it's been a pleasure.